your Bibles now to the book of John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1137. We'll be reading the verses 9 and 10. We'll read these verses in unison, and then we'll turn to some other verses and read them as well. John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, page 1137. May we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And let's begin together. Ready? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now turn to chapter 17. And first we'll read verse 5 together. Ready? And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And now verses 21 and 22 of chapter 17. And let's read them, please. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And let's pray. Father, bless now with thy presence and power this service. We're thankful to be privileged to be here. Thank you for preaching, for your word, and for the health of spirit that it gives us. May we not take it lightly. May we concentrate upon that which is said. May we benefit, even as we give ourselves to the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is one of those sermons that I feel a little bit almost sacrilegious about preaching. It's one of the truths in the Bible that I cannot even begin to comprehend. I feel like I'm entering into a little white sanctuary tonight where the Shekinah is, where I ought not to be. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, Christ and me, like Christ and the Father. Christ and me, like Christ and the Father. Before I pray, may I say this? 26 years ago, tonight, I spoke my first evening message here. This is not exactly the day, but the Sunday. I brought my first evening message, not as pastor, but as a guest here in the church. I almost said candidate, but that's too strong a word, because to be quite frank with you, I did not want to come, and I did not come as a candidate as such. My first sermon ever preached here, building over here that burned 20 years ago, was on the subject Bible adoption. That was on Sunday morning. And 26 years ago tonight, I spoke on the subject redigging God's wells. I was a young man of 32. I've been here 26 years. I'm now 43. One of the good things about getting older is senility. When you tell something that's wrong, it's not a lie. But the sermon I'm going to bring tonight might be sort of a little summary sermon or synopsis sermon. I don't think I've chosen the right word yet. An umbrella sermon covering what I've tried to preach for almost 26 years, 26 years ago this morning when I walked in the pulpit of this church for the first time. Our Heavenly Father, bless us now as we investigate a truth that I don't even know how to begin to teach. I pray tonight you'd help us to be attentive, me to you and the people to me, as we share together this message. Please help. Amen. I could not begin to delve into the subject adequately of the truth that I'm going to deliver to you tonight. About this truth, I think the apostle wrote, the truth is like this, he wrote when he said, "I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him." I do not think he was talking about heaven. In fact, I know he wasn't. He was talking about the truth of the Word of God. Human eye cannot see the truth of God's Word. Human ear cannot hear the truth of God's Word, and the human mind cannot reason it. It is spiritually discerned. In that same neighborhood of verses, we find the verse, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned." They can't understand them, for they're spiritually discerned. Not enough is said and known about the doctrine of the eternal relationship that Jesus had with the Father. A while ago when Brother John led us in reading the Scripture, I said the same thing out loud up here that I've been saying all week as I've been reading the Scripture. "As the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. Now you continue in my love," or "continue my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And all week when I read that, I say, "Zowie, my soul, what a verse." It deals with the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. Good night, I don't understand it. How can deity fellowship with deity? Explain perfection, fellowshipping with perfection. Explain God and his relationship with God. Explain to me the Trinity and its fellowship, each person of the Trinity with the other two. It's unfathomable. I mean, what did the Father and the Son do in eternity? They had a heap of time to do something. What did they do? How did they talk with each other? How did Jesus say to the Father, "I love you"? How does deity express love to deity? I mean, what did they talk about? Had to talk about something. They couldn't sit there and stare at each other for eternity. What did they talk about? What did they say to each other? And beyond that, delve, if you can, into what they must have felt for each other. I mean, Jesus and his Father in eternity, not hampered by physical lust, not hampered by physical appetite, not hampered by physical weakness, not hampered by physical weariness. It's unfathomable. The relationship. And it makes me cry.
when I think how much God loved me, that He broke that relationship for 33 years. We ought to shout, "Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us!" And yet, God was willing to let His Son come to earth. No wonder His Son said, "And now, Father, glorify Thou with me, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." You know why Calvary wasn't so bad to Jesus, brother? It was the door home. I mean, it was the way back to the Father. It was the vestibule of the homestead. Jesus said, "Father, glorify Thou with me the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." We won't turn to it, but verse 4, He said, "I have glorified Thee on earth." I was thinking the other day when I was thinking about this truth. I bet you Jesus. But I can hear Him singing on earth, "Oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee." Or looking to the Father, or singing, "To be like Jehovah. To be like Jehovah. All I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, to be like Jehovah. To be like Him." That's what He came to do. He came to show man what the Father was like. In verse 4 again, He said, "I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." In verse 6 He said, "I have manifested Thy name." In verse 8 He said, "I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me." This is Jesus talking to the Father. And again in verse 8, "They have known that I came from Thee." Now listen, what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus in eternity, before He became flesh and God became incarnate, had a relationship with the Father, and that relationship has been reestablished, only broken by 33 years of deity's love's manifestation for man, and that eternal love, loving eternal love, and eternal love expressing eternal love, and eternal devotion showing eternal devotion, and eternal fellowship expressing eternal fellowship. I can't comprehend that. I mean, you know, sometimes I get so happy on earth, I just want a bus. And I can't comprehend that kind of joy. I mean, and yet, did you know that one day we shall be like Him, and we shall have then the ability to love God with the same relationship that Jesus had with the Father before there was ever a world? Man, that's big league stuff. Oh my soul, look what He said. I won't ask you to turn to it, and I'm afraid to turn to it and look at it again myself. "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." What is He saying? The hour is coming. The hour is short. The hour of His suffering is nigh. He's in the upper room with the disciples. He has not long to speak to them. He speaks some truths to them. And they say, "Father, Jesus, explain what you're trying to say." And He wraps it all up in one sentence. And this is what He says. He says, you are supposed to have, and all throughout the 70th of John, He says you are supposed to have the same relationship with me that I have with my Father. Good night. What a awesome responsibility. I am supposed to be as close to Jesus tonight as Jesus is with the Father. I in Him, and He in the Father. Transfer that amazing relationship. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tingling all over. I can't quite. I feel like I'm about to touch something profane. I feel like I'm tiptoeing to the Holy of Holies. But I mean, take that wonderful, unspeakable, indescribable relationship that deity could have with deity, and God's Son could have with His Father. And to think that Jesus says to me that I am to have that same relationship with Him that He has with the Father. Jesus is helpless to be, the Father was helpless to be seen by men. No man could see God and live in the Old Testament. God had to turn His backside upon man when Moses came. He had to veil His glory inside the tabernacle's Holy of Holies. And the Father said, I want men to know what I'm like. And Jesus said, Father, I'll go show them what you're like. You know, I like that because, brother, if anybody knew what the Father was like, it was Jesus, because they knew each other real well. They've been going steady for a long time. All across this nation, they asked me the question, tell us what John R. Rice was like. I love the question. I love to answer it. Tell us what he was like. Tell us what it was like to sit at the table with him for breakfast. Tell us what he talked about. Tell me what he said to you when you expressed love to each other. Dr. Curtis Hudson, I preached this last week at the National Convention for the Sword of the Lord, and for many years now I brought the closing message of that great convention to thousands of people. Dr. Curtis Hudson introduced me, and he said, this is Dr. Jack Hiles, and among the nice things he said this. He said he and Dr. John Rice were used as a team to touch my life. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, something like this, he said. He said, they're the greatest gospel, were the greatest gospel team of this generation. And people say, what was he like? What was it like to hear him pray? What was it like when he wept through the night for the nation? What was it like? Because you knew him better, perhaps, in his last 25 years than anybody knew him. What was he like? And the Father said, Jesus, I'd like for the people to know what I'm like. Nobody knows me like you do. He said, Jesus, go show them what I'm like. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt when he was in the 17th of John in the Garden of Gethsemane? Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Can you imagine what it was like for him to stand up and say, I have manifested thy name. I have given them thy words. I have glorified thee on earth. He was able to look up to the Father and say, Father, I did exactly what you sent me to do. What a glorious thing it must have been for him to have said, I did what you told me to do. Now then, please follow me. Jesus was the revelation of the Father on earth. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now wait a minute, are you listening? The Father was helpless. His hands were bound. He was unable to show men. Men had no way to understand divine vocabulary. Men had no way to understand deity. Here is God in heaven with love that nobody could understand and compassion nobody could understand. Here is God in heaven with feelings that nobody could understand. Here is God in heaven with a devotion that nobody could understand. Here's God in heaven, and here's His creatures down here. And He said, I wish they knew me. I wish they knew what I was like. And God confessed Himself in a human body, and they called His name Jesus, and He said, your job is to get down there and show them what I'm like. I want my people to know what I'm like. Now, wait a minute. Jesus finishes that. He finishes that. He says, Father, I have magnified Thy name. I have manifested Thy name on earth. I have glorified Thee. I have finished the work. I have given them Thy words. Father, when they saw me, they saw You. They did not see me, they saw You. They found out what You were like. I walked the shores of Galilee, and they saw You. I walked the rocky hills of Judea, and they saw You. I walked in the plains of Mamre, and they saw You. I walked in the mountains of the north land, and they saw You. I walked the hills of Samaria, and they saw You, Father. I showed them what You're like. Now, Jesus goes back to heaven, and He, like the Father, wants somebody to show what He's like. He's not here tonight. He's not here. And He, perfection, deity, strength, God, says, I want the world to know what I'm like. I showed them, Father, what You were like, but now I'm helpless. My hands are tied too. I want somebody to show them what I'm like. And therein rest what I've preached for 26 years. We're supposed to do for Jesus exactly what Jesus did for the Father. And so, whereas Jesus would have sung, let the beauty of Jehovah be seen in me, all Thy glory and power and majesty. We sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. But don't you know how sweetly Jehovah must have looked down upon the Savior when Jesus Christ so perfectly revealed Jehovah to the world that could not understand Him nor see Him? And don't you know the heart of Jesus must break when He said, I wish I had somebody reveal me to mankind as well as I revealed to the Father. And that's why Jesus said, these little disciples around Him, He said, fellows, He said, the job that I had was to deliver the personality of the Father to the world so that men in their flesh may understand and the revelation of God. But now He says, I'm going to heaven. Now He said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. That's what we're here for. As surely as Jesus was left or sent to the earth, the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, the walking the shores of Galilee, the raising the dead, the healing the sick, the causing the lame to walk, and the deaf to hear, and the blind to see, and the dumb to speak, the entire life of Jesus, of feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, blessing little children, and the whole life of Jesus was to show us what God the Father's like. And if you ever wonder what God the Father's like, just read the life of Jesus and you will find what God the Father's like. By His birth, listen to this statement very carefully. By His birth, He took my nature. And by my new birth, I took His nature. And that link is as binding as the link. Oh, I better not say it. I'm afraid to say it. That link, He, by His birth in Bethlehem, took upon Himself my nature. I, by my new birth, 47 years ago, next month, took upon myself His nature. Now, He has my nature. I have His nature. And that link that binds us, and here's a statement I'm afraid to say, but I'll say it. That link is as binding as was the link that bound the Father and the Son in pre-incarnation days. I have His nature. He took my nature. I was here. He was here. He reached out and said, I'll take your nature. I reached out and said, I'll take your nature. And my taking His nature and His taking my nature overlapped each other and formed a relationship that Jesus said is supposed to be as holy and as sacred as the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. Boy, doesn't that make our little puny relationship with God look sick? Doesn't that make our not tithing look, doesn't it make it stink up a storm? Doesn't that make our 5 minutes in prayer a day look piddling and backslidden? Doesn't that make our watching the box instead of reading the book, doesn't that make it look awful little and piddling? Ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty, as deity, fellowship with deity, God Almighty said, that's the same relationship that little old Jack Hiles is supposed to have with the Son of God Himself. Compare that to your staying home on Wednesday night because you want to get to bed early. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul. How the heart of Jesus must hunger for us to be as close to Him as He was, as God's manifestation of the Jehovah. How He must hunger for someone to manifest Him like He manifested Jehovah. How He must hunger for someone to adore Him like He adored Jehovah. How He must hunger for someone to love Him like He loved Jehovah. How He must hunger for somebody to fellowship with Him like He fellowshiped with Jehovah. I mentioned Dr. Rice a while ago. Many years ago, I vowed this. I vowed to try to understand the old man. He was misunderstood. Folks used to laugh at the books, his book covers. Got to see some of the book covers. Folks used to make fun of him a little bit because he was willing to condescend to our level so he could speak on our level so we could understand him. But I walk with him enough. You mentioned the word Shakespeare. You could quote it like you'd quote Mary Had a Little Lamb. You tell him to stop. You mentioned John Milton. He'd just start quoting John Milton. You mentioned a Bible verse. He'd tell you the one before it and the one after it. And I vowed I'd get to know him. You know why I wanted to get to know him? I wanted to be somebody. And he said this to me. And we didn't have a lot of... We were too busy working to have a lot of tender moments. But there are times he said this to me. He said, Brother Jack, I just feel like you understand me like nobody else does. And I vowed I'd try to get to know him and get to learn him and get to understand him and get to know his likes and dislikes and know what I like to talk about. And he seemed like he would talk with me about things he wouldn't talk about in the pulpit. And I probed his mind and got to know him. One reason is I want to take what I learned from him and tell my generation what I found out. God the Father said, Jesus, go down to earth. And he said, show them what I'm like. Jesus was here 33 years and perfectly fulfilled that mission for his life. He goes back to the Father and he turns and he says to the disciples, show them what I'm like. Sometimes every pastor, I guess, wants to do this. Sometimes I want to get this little knife in my pocket and cut my heart open and say, look at it. Look at it. See it! Check it out! That's what Jesus wanted. He wanted the earth, men on earth, to see His great love. God has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no help but our help to lead men to His side. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked and what if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than His? And what if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid Him and hasten His return? These hands are not mine, they're His. I'm supposed to show the world what Jesus did with His hands while He was here. This tongue is not mine, it's His. I'm supposed to show the world how He would have talked if He were here. These eyes are not mine, they're His. I'm supposed to show the world what He would look at and how His eyes would be if He were here. These ears are not mine, they're His. I'm supposed to show the world how He would listen if He were here. This body's not mine. This mind is not mine. This heart is not mine. They're only here to do for Jesus what He was here to do for the Father, to show the world what He was like. His life was confined to a space of 40 miles, about 80. Because of that, China never saw Him. Asia never saw Him. Russia never saw Him. Germany never saw Him. France never saw Him. Italy never saw Him. Canada never saw Him. Mexico never saw Him. United States never saw Him. Hammond, Indiana never saw Him. How then shall the world know what God was like if they didn't see Jesus? He thought of a plan whereby a little Jesus could be in every city and country and village and hamlet and neighborhood in the world. He said, I'll give that same Spirit by which I live. I'll give that same Holy Spirit to people all over the world and make Him available. And if they will yield to that same Holy Spirit to which I yielded, then they can show the world what I was like. And that's our job. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like Thee, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy goodness, come in Thy sweetness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Recently, out in the front yard of our house, a tree died. We called it the money tree. 19 years ago, next month, You gave it to us. Little bitty sprig. Had money all over it. We've planted another tree there since. I think it had about 700 $1 bills. And then you also, many of you were here then, you also wrote notes. And on one of those notes, one little lady wrote these words. Dear Brother Hiles, for 7 years, you've walked among us. She said, I'd like to tell you how much I appreciate what you've done. But she said, I just think I'll put it this way. I think you've done what the Master would have done if you were pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I said, I haven't either. But that's what I want to do. Shortly thereafter, I went down to the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, for Dr. Harold Sadler, and preached there, and I took McCruden's concordance with me. I looked up every verse in the Bible where it talks about being like Jesus. I read them all over and over again in my room there, the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, 19 years ago. And I said, I cannot be like Him. But I want to be. And I'm going to start doing my best to be like Him. Now listen to me. He needs somebody to understand Him. You know, I think the hardest thing about earth was for Jesus, for Him to have to tell those little old stories. When He could have spoken in deity's language, He who had fellowship with the Creator of the universe, He who had fellowship with Jehovah God and knew His vocabulary had to lower His vocabulary to talk about a man lost a boy and a lady lost a coin and a fellow went out in the field of soul. I think Jesus is so hungry for some of us to know enough Bible and enough truth to get to Him and say, Jesus, I want to ask you about this. I think sometimes He claps His hands and says, I've been wanting somebody to talk to me deep enough where I could be challenged for a long time. I got a little note this morning. And it's not true, but I love the note. A lady wrote me and said, my little girl, 3.5 years old, she said, Mama, she said, I have 2 Jesuses. She said, the one that died for me on the cross and Brother Hines.
I sat last Friday night and did something I'd never done before. And Dr. Evans, my heart broke. When I sat over, looked over, stood up and looked over here and saw for the first time in all the many sermons I preached at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga and Tennessee Temple College, Dr. Robertson was in the audience. 40 years he pastored that church. Over 40 years. Dr. Faulkner took it for a while. Now they've called another pastor. The Don Jennings. And Dr. Robertson is no longer an official at this church or the school. He's pastor and president emeritus. Only honorary positions. And I stood behind that platform, the pulpit. And I said, he's supposed to be sitting back here. And there he sat. I wondered how he felt. 40 years. Almost 45 total church and school. And now he's a spectator sitting over like anybody else in the audience. In just a few weeks, he'll watch them welcome another pastor. When I die, I want this church to disband the next day. I wouldn't enjoy heaven watching some of the rascals standing right here. 40 years. And then I got to thinking, the first time I ever saw him, he was 43. I was about 27. Marbury Avenue Baptist Church, Longview, Texas. 43. And now he's in his mid-70s. And in 14 months, I'll be 60. And I got to thinking, someday I'll preach my last time in my pulpit. And I got to wondering if there's anything Dr. Robertson wished he'd have said. Anything he wished he hadn't have said. Then I got to wondering, what will I want to think about when I'm sitting over there where he is now? And this is what I thought. I want somebody to write me a note and say, "Dear Brother Hiles, while you were our pastor, we believe you did what the Master would have done." And I thought about this as I flew back in the night, Friday night. I have not been like him as much as I wish I could have been. But I mean this, and God hears me, and I put my hand on the Bible. I really have tried. I have not succeeded in being like him, but I have succeeded in trying. I've wanted you to have a Christ-like pastor all these years. I have loved you. You have not been shortchanged in love. I have tried to share. I'm not as unselfish as I hope I will be and wish I were. But whatever God has given me, I've really tried to share it. I've tried to be a friend. I have not been the friend I want to be, but I've tried to be a friend. I've tried to forgive. I've carried your burdens. I've tried as best I could to hurt when you hurt. I have been clean-minded. Not one single woman can ever say truthfully, "I had an evil thought about her." And not one woman in the world can ever point a finger at me, a just finger at me, and say, "You sinned with me." I have avoided things that would cause me to have evil thoughts. I have been financially careful. I have given as much as I could give. And even on my trips, I've tried to save your country. And could I say this? Could an old man be a little vain for a minute? You'd have a little hard time finding a neighborhood in America that has not been influenced by this ministry in the last 25 years. I've tried to teach you the Bible. I've tried to preach the truths of God to you. Shallow at Vacation Bible School and a little more complicated at youth conference, even for the truth I'm sharing tonight. I've tried to be a scholar to the scholars and a child to children and a teenager to the teenagers. And I've given all I've had. And I hope that occasionally you have gotten just a little glimpse of Jesus. Not just because I want you to get to see Him, because I want as best I can to be to Him what He was to the Father. And I want to somehow be able to enter into His heart and fellowship with Him in some little way like He fellowshiped with the Father. Father said, Jesus, go manifest me to the people. And He did, perfectly. Jesus goes back to heaven and says to His disciples, go manifest me to the people. I remember when Cindy used to stand on the hearth of our fireplace, she was a little girl, with her modest immodesty. She'd pull a little skirt up and she'd start to chew on it like that. And she'd sing. Didn't sing the words right. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley. All I ask, to be like Him. Don't you wonder how He feels tonight? Don't you think He's hungry for somebody to understand Him a little bit? That's why I'm alone a lot. That's why I go to my room or others go to McDonald's after the services at night when I'm traveling. I want a fellowship with Him. And somehow, I want Him to say what John Rice said with me, and I close with this. He said, Dr. Hyle, I sort of feel like you and I have something in common. He said, the Apostle Paul said God had given him the care of all the churches. And he said, all these years I've had the care of all the churches, sort of by myself. And I sort of feel like, Dr. Hiles, that you helped me carry the load of all the churches. I'd like for Jesus to say that to me. What is your relationship with Him tonight?